Okay, tonight, sure, I'd like to wrap up, so to say, the sugya of abortions. It was interesting, when I was originally contemplating doing the sugya, I was asked, how many parts would it be? I said, it's going to be a one-parter. We've done a one part. I guess I definitely missed something over here, but nonetheless, we're holding on our third part, but I think tonight we should be able to wrap up the sugya of the halachic outlook and Torah view of abortion, and B'l'Ned will move on to something next week. If I don't remember to announce at the end of the show, next week B'l'Ned, the show will be Wednesday night instead of Tuesday night. I have an event, and next week what I do plan on doing is discussing the halachic status of the DNR. We're kind of jumping around from Mechaim and L'chaim, I guess. We'll be discussing end-of-life shilas, what exactly is the halachic view of a DNR, other halachic shilas that pertain to people that are in a medical difficult place, and we'll see exactly what the halacha says about some of those types of things. So let's just recap where we left off. We're in the middle of this booklet, but if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, we are holding on page number 3. We're holding over here, and we're first going to see some of the literature from the late 1500s, predominantly 16, 17, 18, and ultimately up to the 1900s, that discuss halachic shailas that deal with the permissibility of doing an abortion. We have not yet seen too much about this. We did see it's a dispute amongst the Rishonim, Tzitz Eliezer and Rav Moshe, which we'll see much more in depth. But when we left off last week, we saw the cases where it would be permissible, such as a case where the mother has a cancer, or if there's emotional or psychological issues. But we haven't yet seen any shailas that are practically lemaisa types of abortion. So the first shaila that we will see is from Rabbi Yaakov Emden, the Shailas Yavetz. We know Rabbi Yaakov Emden, we quote him often. Rabbi Yaakov Emden lived in the middle of the 1700s. He was Nifter in the year 1776. So this takes you to the years, just to give you a ballpark, we're holding the middle of the 1700s. Now, the Chavis Yair, Rabbi Yair Bachrach, he wrote a tshuva before that. He died in 1702, so he was before Rabbi Yaakov Emden. And he talks about a shaila about a woman who was Mizana, and the woman was Mizana, and she's carrying this baby of this illicit relationship. She came to the Chavis Yair, she wrote a shayla, she wants to abort the baby. The Chavis Yair response was, I cannot permit it. That was the tshuva from the Chavis Yair. That was, to my knowledge, besides the tshuva of the Marit. We mentioned last week that the Marit has a tshuva about it, but we said Rav Moshe already writes one of the tshuvas are forged, so we'll start with the next group of Achreinim, we'll start with the Chavis Yair. So we have a shayla to the Chavis Yair, where the Chavis Yair said that he cannot permit an abortion for a woman who's carrying a baby in sin, so to say. She had an illicit relationship, a married woman that was Mizana. Again, this is talking about in the presumably mid to late 1600s. She was Mizana. He said, I'm sorry, I can't permit it. And that's where we left off. Now, comes along Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Okay, Rabbi Yaakov Emden lived a little later. We're now entering into the 1700s. And Rabbi Yaakov Emden was asked the same question. A woman who was Mizana and she wants to have an abortion, is it permissible? Now, this tshuva is so, so crucial. Why? Says Rabbi Yaakov, it's a long tshuva, we'll read through most of it, but it's a fascinating, unbelievable tshuva. Zogt Rabbi Yaakov Emden, number 15. He writes, V'ani atzoi omar l'mizdaiti chilu godlo yesh b'dav. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, I think there's a very big difference between why, in which case you want to get an abortion. The shaila to the Chavis Yair happened to have been talking about a married woman. But the question is married women different than single girls? Or is it different than, let's say, a husband and wife that are happily married, but they're not yet ready to have another child, and therefore they want to abort? Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, V'yesh lo'odin ha'shayel lo'hu, l'zchor she'bediktuk v'kibin shal she'el sh'tav'esh ish. I want to know, the shayla presented to the Chavis Yair, was that specifically a woman who was an eshes ish? Avim ulai ma'isa sh'ahoy l'kachayir, that wasn't the story? Nochem lo'imer allav she'el sh'achochem chazi tshuva, d'bipnuya, v'kol sh'kei b'nesua mu'beres mi'balo. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, it's not even a shayla. If you have a single girl, or a married woman in a healthy relationship with her husband, loy kami boyle, there's no shayla devada vladu, that this fetus is a baby, and therefore you would not be permitted to have an abortion. Ki eich sheyeh av she'en chayva lo vada yisurik. Zogt Rabbi Yaakov Emden, even if there's no death penalty for aborting such a baby, you cannot just perform an abortion because you're not in the mood of having a baby. He says a penuya. Now, Pnuya wouldn't be the run-of-the-mill case of a single girl getting pregnant. There must be something going on over here, but according to Rabbi Yaakov Emden, there's nothing to talk about. The conversation only gets going when we're talking about an Eishes Ishes. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, why?
When he says Pnuya, that means he's implying this is a viable
Yeah, he's saying that he's talking about the fetus. The fetus. He calls the vlad the fetus. So he says, although the fetus, the vade vladu, we consider this something. We don't consider it a sack that's growing. It's something. Then this where it comes into a gavaldik chadish. Ki eich sheyia avshin chayv alav vade surik omnam nidon ha-shayla ba'ish ezishas inso shayla ha-gunehi. Says, well, we're talking about a specific case. We're talking about an ish ezishas inso. Why is that any different? Says Yaakov Emden, the curve be'ein ala ha-teira. He thinks I'm willing to be matrit. I'm willing to permit an abortion of a woman who is mizane in my yisi kedai if I felt, you know, worthy. Says Yaakov Emden, one second. This woman was mizane. We know that an ish ezishas is in so she gets Mises Bezdin. Even though we don't have such a power to do so, she's at least chayv misa b'dinei shemayim. Me'achas she'asa b'mezid, she did it willfully. She's not denying. She's not saying that the husband, this man raped her. She's not claiming it was a mistake. She says, no, I cheated on my husband. I willfully cheated without a question. She knows what she did wrong. Even though the actual concept of giving Misa is no longer applicable, but the concept is still here. What does that mean? Okay, that's not what I want. Listen to what he says over here. Skip a couple lines. And he says, Kivan de Medina Bask Tolihi, this lady is Mechoiv Misa. Even though the baby is a regular baby, it's a mamzer. But you're not allowed to kill a mamzer. Mias hashta di yerich imehu. But right now, this fetus is considered yerich imehu, a part of the mother. V'ilo yedino mosa b'yadenu. If we had the power to give capital punishment, hayin mamtina moisa v'es pribitna, we would kill her and the baby. Gemara and Erichin. We started off with that 2 weeks ago. I think the Daf Yomi is getting around to it at some point. Famous Mishnah Erichin. Mishnah Erichin says, if a lady is b'choyiv misa, you kill her with the baby. So says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, "Vafilu ha'yedina must be deino ha'yedina." Oh, the demei mamish lahi le'erchin, domi mamish lahi le'erchin, they mamtina loy. Va'adif minei says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, this is even better than the Mishnah Erichin. Why? The hasa ma'afilu b'vlad kosher mari. The Mishnah Erichin, you're talking about a regular Jewish baby. This baby can be born and marry anyone he wants, but this baby cannot because this baby is a mamzer. He can't just marry into the kahal Yisrael so simply. So says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, it's better. Va'achal avlad noitze be'iser. Shalad digmadina le'misa. He deserves death. Pshita de choshishin loy. This baby for sure would die along with the mother. Al Kane. Ha you nearly pashut. So therefore, this baby really deserves to be killed. We're not going to kill a baby. That's technicality. That's a technicality. We're not going to kill a baby because we don't have the power. But in theory, this baby has a death sentence on it. So therefore, you can abort it. Unbelievable. No, that's not the Mishnah Erichin says if a lady's chayiv misas bezdin and she's pregnant unless she's mamish about to deliver. That's the Mishnah says in Erichin.
So he's holding his
misa. So he's considering an unbelievable but it's a chiddush because we don't give the death penalty. We'll see in a second where Moshe takes big issue with this. But this is a gewaltige chiddush.
Mishnah's talking even in a case where the child wasn't a
mom's. 100%, right? That's the back of them's argument. Says the Mishnah, says you kill the mom with the baby. That's when the baby is a wonderful baby, and this baby can grow up to marry into any Jewish family and have hundreds of Jewish grandchildren. But this baby, he's a mamzer. He's not going to be able to do that. So it's a kol shekain. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, Al Kain, how you nearly push it? There's no Isra Hashchasa, Af Bishima came, even though mom's alive. Even mom herself. Even though there was no psak on her to be killed because we don't have that power.
We don't have power to kill the baby.
Right, so this is where it gets so funny, of course, Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Really, both deserve Misa. Rabbi Yaakov Emden's argument is both deserve Misa. So he says, even mom, technically, you can argue that mom is really a dead woman walking. So he says, we'll see in a second what Ramesh says about this. And she would not get punished if she committed suicide. So if you're asking, this woman took her life, she wouldn't really be considered as damchem, you know, seek out blood. You're a dead woman walking. He thinks it's actually a good thing for her to kill herself. They want to kill themselves to obtain tshuva. They got a great reward. They were praised that they're going to go to El Mabah for killing themselves as a means of tshuva. I don't suggest anyone doing that. Skip the parentheses. V'chol shekein havlad shebekirboy shedomei mutter ve'inan idish menu kol shekein havlad, who no one can even give you misa for, because if you kill a fetus, you never get misa. So therefore, Zakti B'Yakov, then go for it. Im kil kilose b'chel jibitnish afish lechoto afil hoachim shmai l'rachim, there was no shmaim, was not merachim, v'ari omru mamzo l'chayiv afil shukanachayiz. Okay, good. Says the end of the piece. He says, "Va'ikas ve'ketuva imken lefize pshita de benidan di don motor lechat chela the efsher mitzvah ka'avda." So, if you ever want a piece of halachic literature dating to the mid 1700s, Zog to Yaakov Emden, if a lady is mizana and she wants to go for it, it's mutter, and it might even be a mitzvah for her to abort this baby. Unbelievable! But that's not even what I really want from this whole tshuva. What I want is the next piece of the tshuva. Then he writes the. We're in number 15. It's a long piece of tshuva from Rabbi Yaakov Emden on page 3. I'm sorry. For those of you, we're on page 3 from this rather large booklet. Then this is where things get leveled. So till now, you say to yourself, okay, that's not why most people abort Baruch Hashem in our communities. I hope. But how does that help us? We're going back to original Shalak. Could someone abort for other reasons? Let's say for genetics. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, this is the kicker. He writes in the first wide lines of the next grouping of lines, the gam b'uber kosher ha-yitzad la-hokal l'tzerich godl. So then let's forget the mamzer. A regular baby. If it was what we call a tzoyrich gadol, I'd be willing to be mekel. This is what we need from Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Rabbi Yaakov Emden is opening up a possibility of whatever tzoyrich gadol is going to be. Rabbi Yaakov Emden feels comfortable that maybe he'd be allowed to abort a baby. Even if there's no threat of life to the mother. These are very important words. Ela lahatzalo merei osoy. To save her from some form of harm. Bad. And he doesn't explain it. And he also doesn't define what that is. Shegayrim lo ke'ev gadol. If it's going to cause a lot of pain. Now this is opens up the floodgates. Very flexible. Right? If a 16-year-old girl has a baby, that's a ke'ev gadol. Psychological.
Ah. In his own case.
Exactly. So when we talked last week about psychological, why did Rabbi Yaakov Emden talk about psychological? The first person who talks about psychological was Rev Mordechai Winkler. Mordechai Winkler lived the end of the 1800s and the early 1900s. So my simple answer could be that the people were a little tougher back then and the psychological world was different. Nonetheless, this is unbelievable. Because what did Rabbi Yaakov Emden tell you? If you have what? Ke'ev Godel. So now let's work out different scenarios where you can have Ke'ev Godel. Right, a girl who's 16 in high school that did something she shouldn't do, that's Ke'ev Gadol. Genetics, that's going to be possibly Down syndrome. Tay-Sachs, all of these can potentially, you know, be Ke'ev Gadol, if you accept this Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Then he concludes with Tzarechin. Omdan. Das lenochem v'hokka shakaponim yesh islach atchila v'ashchosos v'yipash t'amudei av she'en l'chayv alovim. But he says, but you know, just for the fun of it, just because whatever, that's for sure us to abort. But if you have, what again, these are the key words. You have ke'ev gadol and what he calls tzayrich gadol. Who's going to define that? We'll see. That's what the achronim get paid the big bucks to define that for us. But that's the words of Rabbi Yaakov Emden.
He doesn't mention, does anybody ever define finance like
no, he doesn't. Right? He doesn't define that. He doesn't give us a definition. Comes along with Moshe Feinstein in one of his many tshuvas. Right, right. The chayrut should be made perhaps both, right? I guess that would also be cheshmi. Comes along with Moshe. Now, we quote Rav Moshe very often. And everyone knows Rav Moshe was very sweet. And he wasn't one of the people, you know, there are some people that are called sharfa people. They had sharfa zugs. And Rav Moshe wasn't known for that. But this is one of the few tshuvas that I know of. Where there's a couple of others, and every once in a while we come across them in the shurim, I mention them. This is one of them. And you got to read what Rav Moshe says about this tshuva, about Rav Yaakov Emden. So in the beginning of the tshuva, he quotes Kemat word for word. So we'll pick it up over here, where he writes about seven lines in. He says, Void herich bazed, the beginning of the line, he goes to go, keneged the chavis yoyer, umamish devarim betelim him. Mamish devarim betelim. It's meaningless. He says, I know Rabbi Yaakov Emden wrote it. I have the copy of the Shelos Yavitz, but I don't know how to make heads or tails of it. I don't know what he's talking about. The worst case. The guy who does kol dover ra with Adim, with Esra, they bring him to Bezin. Bezin's about to make the final psak, and something happens. Says Moshe, Vada, calls man shle omru ha psak din shechai misas, ubepon of davka v'hargu echa nergal av karag adam shle chotu v'yolam. If you'd go right now, and kill this guy, you're a murderer. So Zakti B'yak, Zakti Ramesh, so what's Rabbi Yaakov Emden talking about? This lady who's Mazana in the middle of the 1600s, she's going to be worse than that guy? She's a regular person. She is no different than any other pregnant woman walking across the street. So how can you be mad through an abortion? Ramesh says, this mom is ridiculous. What's Rabbi Yaakov Emden talking about? So he writes over here, he says, I don't understand it. He says, you have to have a psak. So he mamish doesn't understand the words of Rabbi Yaakov Emden. I heard once a shef from Hirsch Shachti, he made a very, to me, I thought it was an interesting comment. He says that most of the Rabbi Yaakov Emdens we don't pass him like. He thought that Rabbi Yaakov Emden and Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz fought all the time. He says, Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz, we don't argue on him so much, but every Rabbi Yaakov Emden is always such a big chadish dikashita. So he was saying that he doesn't know why we give so much credence to Rabbi Yaakov Emden versus Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz. This is one of those Rabbi Yaakov Emdens that I don't know how to make heads or tails of it. But, says it says Eliezer, I'll tell you how to make heads or tails out of this Rabbi Yaakov Emden. He writes in number 17.
This is the one
saying that this was a forgery. No, it's not a forgery. We have it here. He's not willing to say it's not a... The reason why he says the Marit was a forgery because we have two tshuvas come out back to back where none of them make any sense. One says one, the next says the opposite. But this is a tshuva from Rabbi Yaakov Emden that's written in Sheol Yavitz, and he writes what he writes. Now, what he meant by that, no one really knows. But, says the Tzitz Eliezer, I can use this in my logic. Why? Says the Tzitz Eliezer, whatever Pshat in this Rabbi Yaakov Emden is, the starting point clearly is he did not think like Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe is of the opinion that killing a fetus is like killing a regular human being. There is no way Rabbi Yaakov Emden felt like that. Because if Rabbi Yaakov Emden felt like this whole piece makes no sense. Elamai must be, says the Tzitz Eliezer, Rabbi Yaakov Emden must have had a much more of a calmer, tamer approach to abortion, where he thought it was only Nisa Derabbanan. And therefore, if you have a tzairich, if you have a justifiable reason, it's permissible. Again, Rabbi Yaakov Emden and the Chavetz Chaim both went with this idea that abortion is aser because of hashchasa zera, because of wasting sperm. So therefore, Zakt the Tzitz Eliezer, well, if I could put something up against that, like terrible pain or agmas nefesh, then I could say, okay, we're willing to be mad to it. Because again, it's very hard to understand why this is hashchasa zera, because it wasn't like mashchis paris. It wasn't like you took the sperm and threw it on the floor. You impregnated it into the woman, it went to the woman like it's supposed to, and then what happens later. Right? No one's going to say that every single time you kill a person, you're evil and mafre hashchasa zera. No one says that. These are some of the kashas that the Acharonim have on this mahalach. But Zok Tzitz Eliezer, therefore Gavaldik, he says, V'alkein kishim motza legavev bezek kamo kulis nesefes, because now we can start piling up reasons to why you think the abortion is necessary. Then you can start to justify it. So the starting point of this Rabbi Yaakov Emden is that he must have understood that the isser of abortion is hashchasa zera. So once you can start piling up reasons to why it's justified, so you can bypass the isser. So therefore, Zakti Tzitz Eliezer, and this is really where he gets rolling on his massive heter, is really based on this Rabbi Yaakov Emden, to which Rabbi Moshe says, I don't know how to make heads or tails out of it. In the Sefer Noyam was one of these journals that used to come out very often, so they quote from the Sha'ar Mitzchanim Bahalacha, Rabbi Braun. He wrote a commentary on the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, he was a Rav in Brooklyn. So he says, he wants to bring a cute riot to Rabbi Yaakov Emden from a Mishnah in Chagig. Okay, according to Rabbi Yaakov Emden, if you abort a baby that's destined to be a mamzer, you're allowed to do it. And Rabbi Yaakov Emden had a line, maybe it's even a mitzvah. So he says, I'll bring you a gavaldik raya, says the Sha'ar Mitzchanim Bahalacha. What's his raya? Number 18. There's a famous Mishnah in Chagiga that quotes a pasuk in Mishlei. That what? Ezehim uves lo yuchel asaki. What's a mistake that cannot be fixed? So the Mishnah says, Zebo ala erva, v'hoylid mimeno mamzer. If you live with an erva and you give birth to a mamzer can't be undone. So says the Sha'ar Mitzchanim Bahalacha, why is it v'hoylid mimeno? It sounds like the only time it's undoable is once you give birth to it. Why not already in the pregnancy stage? Teretz is because you can abort it. Until it's actually born, you can always abort it. If you abort it, you undo the problem. So it's only mu'uvish lo'yochul l'sakein once it's already born. That was his raya to back up Rabbi Yaakov Emden. You see from this Mishnah that the only time a mamzer is unfixable is once he's already born. Because then you can't kill a mamzer. But once he's still in utero, you can kill him. So that's that was his raya to back up this idea of Rabbi Yaakov Emden.
Why would it be that you abort somebody you can't bring back to life? That's a mu'uvash
lo yachol. Right, but it has to be a mu'uvas first. They're assuming this is not a mistake. Right, they're assuming it's not such a mistake to the point where it would be considered a mu'uvas. So there's a tshuva over here from the Mishpatei Uziel. The Mishpatei Uziel was a chief rabbi in Eretz Yisrael in the early 1940s, Rabbi Tzion Ahuzali. And he has a real chiddush, even further than, I think, than Rabbi Yaakov Emden. He writes the following shayla. He's talking about a case where a lady is pregnant with a baby, and I don't understand this why, but the doctors told her that you're going to lose your hearing if you keep this baby. What the medical connection is I don't understand. But okay, I don't have to understand it because I'm not a doctor. But the doctors tell this woman that if you don't abort the baby, you will lose your hearing. Okay? So now, between me and you, we would say to ourselves, that's not it. We know a lot of people that don't have hearing. Today, okay, he was talking about much earlier, but today we have cochlear implants, hearing aids, so many things you could do. There's a large group of people that Nebuch don't have hearing, and they live very, very enjoyable lives. So you'd say to yourself, that's a reason to abort a baby? So look what he writes, number 19. He says, Mikan Nilmud, from the above tshuva of Yaakov Emden, L'sh'ayla d'nidon d'idon, sh'uber zeh l'fi divrei ha'roifim, yigrim chareshes l'ima l'chol yimeha. Cause it to become deaf. Nothing worse than that. I can think of a lot of things worse than that. She pagemes is kol achayim. It definitely would affect her whole life. I'm not disagreeing. Va'isa aluva kol yomel misnavelus be'enei balo will make her repulsive in the eyes of her husband. Okay, I don't know. L'chein nirul nizdeiti l'hata apolos uvra idei reifim mumchim umuvhokim sheivtichol l'mafrei atzolos akonos misaim b'mida hayosef shehi permits it. Can do an abortion for that reason, because that's a lot of agmas nefesh. That's what Rabbi Yaakov Emden meant when he said it's going to be a lot of pain. It's not necessarily going to be direct pain, but it's going to ruin our life. Mom will have to have a whole different lifestyle. Therefore, zaktim, it would be mutter based on this tshuva from Rabbi Yaakov Emden. The Rav Paulim, the Ben Ish Chai, has a similar shuva. Now, the Ben Ish Chai lived much later. Ben Ish Chai lived in the turn of the 20th century. The Ben Ish Chai passed away in 1909. So now we're forwarding to the late 1800s, from the mid 1700s, about 100 years later. And lo and behold, another case of people not behaving. Ben Ish Chai was presented with the following shayla, number 20, Sheila. Eish is ish is insa. Versa abram is nos. Okay, so it happened in the times of the Chavos Yair. It happened again during the Yaakov Emden's time, and it happened again, at least one case, in the times of the Ben Ish Chai, late 1800s. The lady was mizane. So the question was: Muteris lishto is dovish etapal uber achren shekvar hukar v'nigur bebitna sheesh lo chamisha chadosh bebitna. The baby's already 5 months. It's already hooked up. Everyone knows she's pregnant, so she wants to take a drink, and cause a miscarriage and move on with her life. Ve'imuta lachem l'seyeh bedavar zeh. Not only is she allowed to do it, can you help her? Are you allowed to be a misayeya to take her to the doctor, to get the medication, drive her to the pharmacy? Let's say you're the pharmacist, you're giving the medication, whatever the case may be. Are all these things permitted? So the Ben Ish Chai takes a very, very politically savvy move, and he basically stays very much on the fence without having to go either way. And he basically repeats the tshuvas that we quoted. He quotes Rabbi Yaakov Emden, and he quotes the Ma'arit, at least one of the Ma'arits. Then at the end of the tshuva, he writes the following. 3 lines in, he says, V'nira, the end of the line, the yesh psak bin labaldin dover, yesh pischein pel labaldin loymer, hecha, de'eka pigam mishpacha u'bizoyin v'chil Hashem. If there'd be pgam mishpacha, which of course there would be for an eshes insa, and of course there would be for a single girl in a nice Jewish family to be pregnant, im yishar uber v'leitapel oisa choshev zeh tzarech gadol. That's a tzarech gadol. We're all falling back on this of Yaakov Emden. His comment about tzarech gadol. I'm not adding anything. I'm just repeating what the earlier Achrenim wrote. I'm not telling you my opinion. I'm telling the Shoyl what I think should be the answer. And then you should take these, appear to someone else. Take this information to another rabbi who's got bigger shoulders and let him deal with the Shoyl. So what's Ben Ish Chai basically saying? He thinks that would also be Heter. Now this Heter is very Negeya. For again, there are people that feel that having children with genetic disabilities is somehow a reflection on them, and it creates a pagam mishpacha. Even though, of course, we know that that's not the case. But again, but more so, if let's say, for example, you have a case of, I mentioned this, I think, the first week that Rav Shechter says over, that he got a call from a rabbi who was posh and embarrassed to call him. He said, "But I have a couple, nice from girl and from boy, they're engaged, and they want to play around with the wedding day because they found out she's pregnant." Now, ein l'cha b'zoyin v'chil Hashem g'dayla mizu. A nice, good, from girl, a nice, good, from boy, from a nice Jewish home that were doing things they shouldn't do. So, according to the Ben Ish Chai, l'chayra, it would be mut. That's what one could conclude. And that's what the Tzitz Eliezer basically says. He writes like this, number 21. V'imkein, eifa bor ha'dover, sha'pegam ha'tzar v'abusha. All of these emotions, tzar, pegam, busha, he was referring to a Tay-Sachs baby. Says a Tay-Sachs baby brings all of these. It brings ke'evim, yisurim, tsar, busha. Okay, I don't know about the busha so much. I don't know if I'd call it a busha. Okay, and today it's a busha because it means you didn't do Dor Yisharim. It means you didn't test properly. But back then, they didn't have that. But okay, this is a chiddush. Again, it's very, the tzitzit Eliezer's heter is very debatable. I'm saying, now that we understand where it's all coming from, we can really say to ourselves, what is exactly is this? It's standing on a chiddush from Yaakov Emden, which itself is hard to hold upon, and then we're going to expand on that even more. You're going to take a case to where Yaakov Emden made Ke'ev Godel, we don't even know what those words mean, and expand on it. So he writes, Hey Malein, Arach Bahabi Me'ashe B'Nenei Nishal Rav Polim. It's like the case of the Rav Polim, the Ben Ishchai. V'heima mumshachim v'gluim bein efshos lastirum bein efshos laskaber al metach hanav shagodol. The Pasha can handle it. V'im kein hadas noisenes lumed misham lahate b'nedenu. Afilu l'achakim b'chadoshim l'arenei. Even after 3 months. The baby's even past 3 months. L'irak b'binyan avik zeir shovet l'im kein gam kal v'choymer. So this, I think it's a kavachoymer from the case of the Eishes Ish. If all these achorim are willing to permit an Eishes Ish because of busha and these other things, kol shekein carrying a Tesex baby. I don't know if I really understand the Kavachomer. Maybe I call it a Huadin, a Kavachomer. But this is where the Tzitzel Ezer gets it from. One of his sources. One of the reasons why the Tzitzel Ezer was mater, Tasex, and was mater, Down syndrome babies as well, was because he felt it falls into the Yaakov Emden's heter of Ke'ev Gadol, Tzorich Gadol, the Ben Ishchai's heter of Busha, Pegam Mishpacha, and therefore he was matered up till at least the 7th month. That was the opinion of the Tzitzel Ezer. So he writes in another tshuva. It's not clear to me why he thinks that's any different. I don't know where in halacha he sees that. 3 months, they say, is because the Gemara says 3 months is hukka ubra. That's when a baby's recognizable. We saw earlier, most people think the difference really is 40 days. Before 40 days and after 40 days. And after that, it really should all be, I think, the same. Rebbe Avad Yosef has a tshuva also where he talks about 3 months. But in the tshuva we quoted, I think, last week, the Sicily says, before, even into the 7th month. Yeah, I'm not sure where that really comes from. I don't know from a halachic standpoint where that exactly comes from. But this is the famous truth of the Tzitzel Ezer, which there are rabbanim today that still uses. I had a fellow call me up once and he asked me for a number for a certain rav. I said, maybe I can help you. He said, are you going to give me a heter for an abortion? I said, definitely not. Call that rabbi. He definitely will. And kachave. He was a genetic issue. I think it was a genetic problem. And he called a certain rav. I'm not going to say his name. And he said, Tzitzel Ezer is matzurit. Now, he's not wrong. But the question is, well, who did Tzitzel Ezer argue on to get to this psa? That's what we need to see today. Now, the truth is, I know someone who spent a lot of time on special needs, and he went to speak to this rav in person to tell him that what the Tzitzel Ezer writes about Tay Sachs is not true today for Down syndrome babies. It's not true. Baruch Hashem. They do very well, and we're very accepting and understanding in our community, and there's yeshivas for them, and there's schools for them, and there's programs for them. To say that what the Tzitzel Ezer wrote about Tay Sachs, it's not true. First of all, they live much longer. They live much more fuller lives, and the parents can handle it better. Tasek says, Nebuch, you're going to have a baby. You're going to watch the baby disintegrate in front of your eyes. That's a horrible situation. Baruch Hashem, today, at least with Down syndrome babies, they do unbelievable things with them. They have them yeshiva, they go to shul, and they daven. It's amazing what they do. That's a beautiful program. So to say, I know this person spent time arguing to this rav about it, and he didn't want to hear it.
Sorry by me.
But Tzitzel Ezer has a lot of mechudish dikah psakim that cross the lines of acceptance in mainstream areas. He was very popular because he was the poisik for Shari Tzedek Hospital. So many of the halachic medical shailas fell on his lap and he pasked on them. Tzitzel Ezer died in 2006, not so long ago. But this area, and there are many others where he said some very controversial things, this is one of them, where Rav Moshe took unbelievable issue, and we'll see what Rav Moshe wrote in the tshuva about it, where he took very, very strong issues against the ruling of the Tzitzel Ezer. So again, in America, we're much more accustomed to following like Rav Moshe in America. But even in Eretz Yisrael, not everyone in Eretz Yisrael agreed with him. Shlomo Zalman disagreed with him. A lot of others disagreed with him. He was Mechudish Dikashita, you know. He has a bunch of Mechudish Dikashitas. He has a Mechudish Dikashita about transgender, and he has Mechudish Dikashita about IVF. He's got a lot of Mechudish Dikashitas. One of his Mechudish Dikashitas, he was one of the first people to write that smoking is awesome. We mentioned his tshuva in passing, where he discusses smoking. He has 20-something volumes, you know. He wrote a lot. He was a big Talmud Chacham. But this one is very, very controversial. So let's see what this is as it goes on. Vayter, he writes, Baru Poshet Hadover Bahalocha. The Israelin and Eric Alubrim. We know Jews don't get the death penalty for killing a baby. Umuvad das echidus, except for one minority opinion. Avadas hami, apayt mishisra, ein amad rabban. This is another chiddush. He starts off the discussion that killing an Uber is only nisid rabban. We mentioned from the Nishmas Avram. The Nishmas Avram quoted close to 10 achrayinim, contemporary achrayinim, including Reb Chaim Moizer, Reb Moshe, I don't have the list in front of me, tons of contemporaries who all disagree with his premise. They all assume that killing an ober is an issa deraisa. So again, that's part of the building that the Tzitz Eliezer is building is A, that the whole issa is only an issa derabanan. That's very questionable. Many achrenim disagreed with him. On top of that, he's saying that Rabbi Yaakov Emden wrote tzarich gadol, and he thinks this is a tzarich gadol. Okay, who says Rabbi Yaakov Emden's psak is accepted? So comes along the Tzitz Eliezer, he writes the whole thing. Then at the end, he writes, "Who because to be He says, "Why are you getting mad at me? I'm following Rabbi Yaakov Emden's psak. What did Rabbi Yaakov Emden say? That if you have tzarich gadol and keev gadol, it's mutter." Last line of number 22. Hare behedya shadibra hatzos ahead to bezeh shalayevet who afilu kishalakim kan sheles b'kach nefesh aleim. You see, clear. Rabbi Yaakov Emden says mafurish. This is not a medical shayla. This is other issues. V'amedubar rak de latzila mikeev gadol sheishlo b'galoy ush bechlal yeshlo hakol bezeh letzarich gadol. Says it to Zelaz, don't get mad at me. I'm following Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Okay. Then he goes one further step. He says, "Basher al king gasher gelisi daiti mirosh nilu v'riz daiti teish lahatul likigoyin didedain l'sader avsokas iroyin miyad emavado hamifchan aboru." If you have the experts that know what's going on, v'avadish ochen yulad yolot kizeh. First of all, you got to make sure that's really a Tay-Sachs baby. There are numerous stories of sonograms that have shown the wrong idea. Someone was just telling me in shul on Shabbos. He was telling me, he had a friend of his that they did a sonogram and they said the baby has Down syndrome. They wanted to show the abort. They went to a rabbi. The rabbi said don't abort. And the mice, the baby was a regular baby. The sonogram got it wrong. That's a real rabbi shemais. But okay, in any case, you got to be careful. There's so many of these stories where the doctors didn't get it right. They read the test wrong, whatever the case may be. Sounds like a great lawsuit for the record, but okay.
Sounds like he's the only way. The only definitive test for Down syndrome is chromosome.
That's correct.
So how are they doing with the... Unless they see folds or pieces.
Right, there are other, right. They say other ways, right. Right. That's why a lot of the Achrayim are very skeptical. How do you know for sure it's going to be that? Some of the other genetic issues, okay, Tay-Sachs, they knew they could tell directly. So this is what he writes. He says, "Bo'oifin shesida hafsokas ha'irun tebatza b'tzur kazoi shalo yikruch b'zeh kol sakon alayim." It's got to be where there's no at all chance of risking the mother's life. Okay. Then he adds one more knech. Try to find a female. So you got to find a female Jewish doctor to perform the abortion. Why a woman? Because we're working off of Yaakov Emden. Yaakov Emden was of the opinion he is of abortion as Shchos Hazera. Women don't have an issue of Shchos Hazera, even though it's a machlokes apayis kim. So says Yaakov Emden, if you have a woman, it's a little better. So you got to find a woman who's not Jewish, who's Jewish, to perform the abortion. Okay, that's the Tzitz Eliezer's ruling. One more piece in Tzitz Eliezer. Let's see Rav Moshe first. So Rav Moshe goes through the whole tshuva, and Rav Moshe writes like this. Unbelievable. Again, remember the Shavkei, what Rav Moshe said about Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Let's see what he's going to say about the Tzitz Eliezer. Now, Rabbi Yaakov Emden was at least 400 years ago. Tzitz Eliezer was a contemporary of Moshe. He writes this. L'chein, d'shtamamti. I was blown away. Not in a good way. Bereisi tshuva mechocham echad beres Yisrael hanichtav lemenal beisachayim, not beisachayim, beisachoyla. Shari tzedik v'nitzas b'choberes asya. Because that's how it got out. This Rabbi Dr. Steinberg, who has the letter from the Tzitz Eliezer with his matter the abortion, he started printing a thing called Asya, a journal. Before he printed it, he asked the Tzitz Eliezer, can he have permission to write it? He says, please, go for it. So he wrote it. Somehow this tshuva made its way to Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe saw it and he went, whoa. He thought this was a horrible psak. He got around being mad to abortions for Tay-Sachs. Rav Moshe thought it was wrong. And he writes this. He goes through the whole cheshbon and he says he's wrong about this, he's wrong about that. At the end of the tshuva, could I read on your own, he writes, "V'loy muvon zman." Okay, ubaru pasha kitagasafti halacha abrura apir abesein arishayim amafarshim apayiskim mamish she'asim b'dim tzicha mamish. So Rav Moshe, I'm right. But then tomorrow in the Chumash, we'll talk about Rav Moshe's anivus. This is not Rav Moshe trying to be nerve. He's trying to teach a halacha mais. So Rav Moshe, I'm right, and I proved it right, and this is the right halacha. And he says, there's no question. And you're not allowed to kill a baby, even if the baby's a mamzer, or even if the baby's going to die, you're not allowed to kill a baby. He says, whether or not even has tay-sex, vein litois v'lismech al tshuvas chacham zeh. Do not make a mistake and misaymech on this rabbi. You have no permission, he's wrong. V'shari le. Very strong. This is wrong. Don't talk about it. It's wrong. He's got it wrong. And you cannot be samech on him. So, if anyone is a Talmud of Rav Moshe who knows anyone's, then you're not going to prepare an abortion. If someone is in the camp of Rav Moshe, someone is a Talmud of Rav Moshe, he can't constantly say, yeah, this daughter says Eliezer. It says you lie. He can't do it. Rav Moshe says this is wrong. So, what happened was, is that the Tzitz Eliezer found out that Rav Moshe wrote to get him. And the Tzitz Eliezer decided to write a rebuttal to Rav Moshe's rebuttal. So in the Tzitzis Eliezer, you see it, where he addresses Rav Moshe's kashas, and he writes at the end of the piece, number 25, he says, L'zois... No, so what really happened was is that this Rabbi Dr. Steinberg wanted to write a sefer. And he wanted to write a sefer with a lot of them having the Tzitzis Eliezer's tshuvas. So he went to the Tzitzis Eliezer to get haskam. So Tzitzis Eliezer says, great, I'll give you haskam, and my haskama, I'll rip Rav Moshe. I'll use my haskama to your sefer to bash Rav Moshe's psak about abortion. So Rabbi Dr. Steinberg tells the Tzitzis Eliezer, he says, please, Rabbi, I'm starting out new in this business. It's the first book I'm printing. I want it to actually sell. Please don't write such a sharfa thing. Now today, it would be the exact opposite. Today, if you'd have a haskama to a sefer written with such sharfkeit, it would sell like wild cakes. Everyone would want to buy. So he begged the Tzitzis Eliezer to go easy, and the Tzitzis Eliezer said, fine, I won't be so sharf with him. But he had his own choice words of what he wanted to say to Rav Moshe about Rav Moshe's room. So this was a real heavy dispute between the Tzitzis Eliezer and Rav Moshe about this opinion. So after the Tzitzis Eliezer reads all of Rav Moshe's rebuttals, he writes at the end of another tshuva, number 25, he writes, L'zoist mishnasenu b'zeh lo'izozu mimkeima. I'm not budging a bit. I read Rav Moshe, I saw Rav Moshe, I'm not budging a bit. I'm sticking to my gun that up till the seventh month I'm still justifying an abortion. Like I wrote in my sefer, I am not budging from what I wrote. So it says the Tzitzis Eliezer.
By the way, I know you may have mentioned before. What was Rabbi Yaakov Edelman's head to base on? Just because he's caused sorry, isn't
it? So the Tzitzis Eliezer assumes that the pshat is because he holds his holiness of the Rabbanon. So because it's holiness of the Rabbanon, when you put things up against it, you can be mater, you can be matrit. That's how the Tzitzis Eliezer understands Rabbi Yaakov Edelman. It's a chiddush.
Rabbi Yaakov Edelman
says Rabbi Yaakov Edelman in the tshuva says it's Israel Shechos Zer. That's a discussion. What type of Israel is Israel Shechos Zer? Meaning Rabbi Yaakov Edelman wasn't even Rabbi Yaakov
Edelman.
Where does it say in the Torah he can't be Mashchel Zer?
By the whole story by Yehuda
Tomer. Yeah, but that wasn't that before Mountain Torah. It has to gotta be repeated somewhere to become a deraisa. It might be it is deraisa. It's a machlokes, I think. But Rabbi Yaakov Edelman does say very clearly he can't just abort for the fun of it. But he doesn't say what. That's not where the Torah says it. The Torah doesn't say that. That's why it's aser. Torah doesn't say Mishkav Zachar aser because it's Hashlosh Zera. Torah says it's aser because that act is a teiv, I think.
Right.
So the Tzitzis has a right to know the tshuva. Ah, this is really gishmak. Now we're going to get a little political, just for the fun of it. We're on page 5. He says like this. Someone wrote to the Tzitzis Yezer that he thinks that the sharf of words that Rav Moshe wrote back was forged. Rav Moshe never wrote it. Someone was trying to make trouble. Someone decided that he's going to use Rav Moshe's name, write such a strong tshuva, bashing the Tzitzis Eliezer, and use Rav Moshe's name. So he writes this. Navshi aguma lies the shonim rabbi shetshuva achas miuchas agenu Moshe Feinstein hayfiyah b'sefer asikara and the Rav Chatzkel Abramsky. Because where did the first place Rav Moshe's comment appeared? It appeared in a sefer about Rav Chatzkel Abramsky. I don't know exactly how it got there. Chatzkel Abramsky, we spoke of it many times. It was a very, very chashaviyid. He wrote Chazon Yecheskel, unbelievable Sefer Antisefta. So he writes, this came out in Tavshin Lamaches, which is 1978. And Rav Moshe tried to write against what's Mefurish. And therefore, he came to argue on the Tzitzis Eliezer. And he says, I have proof. And this whole rebuttal against the Tzitzis Eliezer was not Rav Moshe. Okay? I'm only doing this to make peace. This is what Rav David Michal Rav Yaakov Moshe Feldman Tainis. And this whole thing is not Rav Moshe. There's only one problem.
How do you get into
Igros Moshe? It's an Igros Moshe.
Exactly.
It's a Pella. It's amazing. This is the beauty of politics. Jewish politics at its best. So this fellow wants to make an argument that the rebuttal against, that Rav Moshe never really disagreed with the Tzitzis Eliezer. Of course he did. We have in front of us an Igros Moshe, where Rav Moshe wrote to Rav Moshe Tendler. The Shaila initially was presented to Rav Moshe about Tasex was by Rav Moshe Tendler, to which Rav Moshe wrote a very lengthy and a very detailed, and I gave it to you, that he said, I think the Tzitzis Eliezer is completely wrong. So this whole idea that it was not true is very hard to accept. But it definitely from a political point, definitely interesting to think that maybe... He wrote it.
First impression of abortion only came in response to the Tzitzis Eliezer that we learned.
So I don't know if the article that appeared in Asi came first or if Moshe Tendler asked him first. I have to check the years.
Weren't some of the isn't there a question about some of the
Yeah, but this was in the earlier volume. These are the earlier ones. Yeah, these were the earlier ones. It's not even the controversial chelik. It's not like it's chelik. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, but that's correct. We didn't find any yes in the Torah. So Ramosha was of the opinion.
Right.
So Ramosha is of the opinion, this is Ramosha's chiddush, that it's ritzicha de raisa without the punishment. That's Ramosha's chiddush. It's ritzicha without the punishment. It's ritzicha de raisa. Killing a fetus is like killing an adult. One gets the death penalty, one doesn't. That's Ramosha's. That's right. Quote to Ramosha, it's a mamish ritzicha de raisa. That's usually not. Usually the penalty reflects the crime. Let's say, for example, I think he talks about this in Ratz Katzvi. This would be negeya. The halacha is if a kohen kills, he's not allowed to duchen, depending on different details. So let's say a kohen performs an abortion. Would he then be allowed to duchen? So according to Moshe, absolutely not. You're a ritzech. According to Moshe, if you do an abortion, you are a ritzech. You're a murderer.
That's true. If he's in the army.
Yeah, that's where all the shalos started. In the army, that's where things get very, very interesting.
Driving.
That was the other thing. Accidentally, things like that. Now, how a kohen found his way to medical school is a different tshuva from Moshe that this fellow didn't keep, but okay. But according to this Moshe, that's what he talks about in his tshuva. In Ratz Katzvi, he talks about this. I think he's correct. According to Moshe, you're a murderer. According to Yaakov, you're not a murderer. You're a tzozer l'vatala guy. Okay. He still would be allowed to dochen. But according to Rav Moshe, you're a ritzeach gomer. That was the opinion of the Sri Deish. This is ritzicha. Why is there no misa? Kasha. Okay, that's a kasha. When Aliyanavi comes, you'll ask him why there's no misa. That's what Hashem wanted, for whatever reason. We spoke about it. In the second shir, we mentioned many Rishayim, Parshas Rishpatim, explain why there's no misa there, right? So then Rav Moshe writes the following in his tshuva, number 27. He writes, so that's the end of the political part of it. Now, in number 26, in the Nishmas Avram, he quotes Mishas Shuvah's Lev Aryeh, that says, the Efshad in Israel, the Hargim Kim Shein Oy Melias Nefesh, Poshkas Benayt Behuda, the Omele Agarim Shavaz Amarok, which is the Dait Tzvich Mahachmer Psaq Agarim Moshe. We're talking about Tesax. Maybe you can argue the baby's never going to really live. Maybe you can kill a Tesax baby because it's never going to be a Bar Kiyoma. Maybe like a Trefa or something like that. So he says, Mishas Shuvah did not agree. Mishas Shuvah thought one is not allowed to abort a Tesax baby, like Rav Moshe. Okay, it's Hosef Li Agarim Shlit, the Biksav, the Lelas Sebedika. And therefore, Zoktrib Shalim Zalman, why bother testing for it? There's no reason to test for a Tay-Sex baby if you're not going to abort it anyways. Now, he doesn't mean what the Dari Sharm test. He means once you're already married and the baby's already in there, why bother testing? Because what are you going to accomplish? You're not going to abort anyways. So therefore, there's no reason to do the testing. Ach, lomos nafshis mamish ad daitoi. This is what we spoke about last week, but it's going to cause psychological issues. And this mother feels she's carrying a baby that has X and Y issues, and that's going to disturb her psychological whereabouts. That's already a different shaila. That's the psak of the Nishmas Avraham. So Rav Moshe was discussing a different shaila. Rav Moshe was discussing, is it correct to test for Tay-Sex? Not Dori Sharm. Once you already had the baby, so Rav Moshe said, why? Why bother? What are you going to waste your time for? You're not going to abort, you're not allowed to abort the baby. So why bother? So therefore, Dr. Moshe, there's absolutely no reason to why you should, and he thinks better not to. And this is always a debate, you know, people always discuss, should they find that the gender of the baby, shouldn't they find that the gender of the baby? So Rabbi Ephraim Greenblatt writes, he says, things are always, the Gemara says, bracha is always found by things that are hidden. So why do you want to know what's going on? In the Goyisha world, it's very, everyone knows and everyone talks about the gender of the baby, you know, the earliest they could see the gender. So my wife works in the public school, so it was easier for her to say, I don't know the answer of the gender, because everyone kept on asking her, what are you having? So if you don't check, you can honestly say, I don't know what I'm having. So it's a lot easier. So therefore, Dr. Moshe, there's no reason to test because we're not going to abort anyways. However, says Rav Moshe Gavaldik Tshuva, he writes over number 27, he says, they wanted to know my opinion about testing the boys and the girls. This is before they're pregnant. He writes, V'im tov liyodah b'zeh m'lasis b'dikazu b'katnusam. Should you test someone to see if they're a carrier of Tay-Sex when they're very young? Ayurak shigiyaz ma'alam minosah, only when they get into the parashah of Shidduchim. Number 27, this is Rav Moshe. He says, V'm'lasis zeh b'oifim pirsum b'tzinnish, you make it public or private. He writes like this, V'zeh liyodah ki avshu miyat kotun yeladim noilim ke'ilu. It's a very small chance of people having Tay-Sex baby. V'shayach loim ma'alzeh nikra b'shoiftim t'tovim t'yeh ma'ashem l'kecha. So, maybe you should apply the rule of tamim. You know, don't worry so much. Live a normal life. But it's so easy to test today. Maybe it's being foolish. You're closing your eyes to something you should see. Why are you doing that? You should. So, spread the word about Dayushar. This is Rav Moshe endorsing the Yishar. Yeah, go for it. It's Kedai. Why not? So if you're going to have a baby, that's going to be a drain on your life. A drain. In all elements, you can't abort it. So Ramosha was adamant. Nothing changes the status of the abortion because there's genetic issues. Nothing. So according to Ramosha, obviously for a Down syndrome baby, there would absolutely be no heter. For financial reasons, that wouldn't be a heter. For Shalom Bayis reasons, that wouldn't be a heter. Obviously, none of these would be reliable reasons. According to Ramosha, unless the mother's life is at danger. That's it. And Moshe has the most extreme opinion. The Tzitzel Yezer has the most, we'll call it, laxed opinion. Those are the two gamuts of the Gedalia Achrayim. You have Moshe on one end, Tzitzel Yezer on the other end. So if a person, Nebuch, is looking for a head for abortion, don't call a Talmud of Moshe. Because you know what the answer is going to be. Being very honest with you. Even though Rav Shechta says an unbelievable story with Abshalom Azam. Abshalom Azam, we saw, was anti-abortion, right? However, someone once called, one of the Talmidim once called Abshalom Azam, who was a doctor. And he said, I have a patient that wants a heter. So Abshalom Zalman initially said, you know, I'm against abortion. But Abshalom Zalman asked the fellow, he said, I'm just curious, is this fellow any way connected to me? Is he a Talmud of my yeshiva? Does he daven by me? The doctor said, no. So Abshalom Zalman said, I have an idea. Why don't you tell this woman to call, there's a rabbi in Yerushalayim, his name is Rabbi Waldenberg. Have this lady call Rabbi Waldenberg and ask him what to do. That was the godless of Abshalom Zalman. So even though Abshalom Zalman, on principle, was against abortions, we know he does not agree. But Lamaisa, he said, I'm not the only Pesach in town. So I'm going to, you know, as Rabbanim, I like to call this is one of those punting situations. You punt the shayla off to someone else. You don't want to take the chreis. You know that there are those that are mekilim. You personally are not mekel, but vibal, there are big shoulders of people, so you kind of punt it on to someone else. So again,
if you have to be, you know, like a shayta, you know, like you do have to, like, let's say you had a situation like that, so it's pre-me, whatever, so you have to go through the same, you know, as you know, we're going to consider this a lie.
Yeah. You have to go through.
You can't just say, okay, well.
I mean, let science. So that's really what we're going to talk about, Blina, the next week. You know, how much can we be passive in the medical world and allow things to kind of work on their own? Or how much do we have to do to save? Now, obviously, an Uber is different than a person. Because it's still, right. Pashas, you wouldn't have to do that much of a workup. Even though we are Michal Shabbos for an Uber, that's the halach, according to Ramban. Yeah.
According to Moshe, is there anybody know if he would be in favor of genetic testing?
Only
does for taste that.
They do a full workup. They do. It depends what you want to look for. You know, the truth is. So the Tzitzel Yezer talks about a shayla. This is very negeya. Very often, you have cases of twins and triplets where one of the babies is staring the rest of the babies, which means you got to kill off one of them. What about in that situation? So the Tzitzel Yezer writes. I think even this Rav Moshe would agree to. That's a begedder right. If one baby's chasing the other baby. That's the
Shuvah,
that's the famous one over there. But Siamese twins. Uh-huh. But here the Tzitzel Yezer writes, in the case where you'd have to have, let's say, three babies, you have to kill one for the other. So the Tzitzel Yezer, that would be mutter. Then the Tzitzel Yezer just ends off by saying that Lamaisa, you should know there's a Zayar. And the Zayar says how horrific and how terrible it is to do abortions. So this is the Tzitzel Yezer writing it. He says, although I'm acknowledging the idea of abortions, you have to make sure it's done very carefully, if they make sure it's done properly. But I think that halacha lemaisa, it is mutter. We didn't get to the last page, but we're not making it a part four. The last page is some interesting Maram Mekremis more about Rav Moshe's opinion on abortion. And Rav Moshe, again, it basically boils out to be a machlokes Rav Moshe and the Tzitzel Yezer, and the Tzitzel Yezer's rayas are questionable and debatable. Halacha lemaisa, we should hopefully not need to know of these types of shayos. But again, it's not a simple thing to be so quick to be matur. To answer it is definitely not simple.